This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you
it's
are.
Mike
I'm Shope not. Yes, you
and
are.
The Bulldog no, on WGR Sports Radio 550.
So I'll preface this by saying I know, yes, there's already enough hate in the world. But have you figured out yet how to hate Aaron Glenn?
No.
What's it going to take? We need you on this.
I mean, I guess I could pretend to fall for one of those fake Facebook things where he's talking about what a jerk he thinks Josh Allen is or something. I don't even know if that exists, but it almost definitely does. But I think it would take that. I went through the bio and his career, and I don't married his college sweetheart. I got into the personal file. I got nothing.
You did get after it a little bit.
I did. Yeah. You want to check my history, my browser history? I googled some Aaron Glenn this week.
I don't even want to acknowledge the history because then I'm going to get stuck with whatever these Facebook things are you keep bringing up. I don't even want to say it.
Yeah, right. your computer's going to hear us say that, and then you're going to start getting them.
I mean, I'm never on there.
I just don't know how I ended up in that circle of hell, but I am. Anyway, no, I have not managed to get anywhere. I guess I could try. I said you aren't going to play and you're not on my team if you make mistakes, and they cut their punt returner after a fumble on Sunday.
This is the guy that beat the Bills
last
overtime.
Year. Yeah.
2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, thank you. Yeah. So that, I mean, I don't know. That might be an overreaction. Okay, tough guy. But I'm bending over backwards trying. He's too new.
It was Dan Leberfeld yesterday who brought up. I love that Dan almost always asks us a question or two in the course of our conversations with him. And he's like, what did you guys think of how we handled Aaron Rodgers? And, you know, you and I are most of the same here. We really don't like Aaron Rodgers. So to have him fly in so we could fire him, you know, maybe that was a little rough.
Yeah, when Dan asked us that, I said objectively, like without my personal feelings about Rodgers entering it, that seemed like it might have been unnecessary. But I did hear back from some fans that reminded me, and this I think was brought up at the time when Rodgers was reportedly miffed at how they asked him to do that. that he wants in-face, you know, in-person meetings. Didn't want...
he got one.
So, you know, what are you supposed to do there? But you know, I still think you could have probably avoided doing that to him. I think Aaron Glenn did that. See, this makes me like him, but it's because I'm biased. I don't like Rodgers. I think he did that to embarrass Rodgers because Rodgers embarrassed the Jets. And he's trying to tell you it's a new day here. We're going to be doing things differently. We're not going to be a joke anymore. And I respect him trying to do that. And I don't know that Sean McDermott would have done something like that, but I mean, he did. He put heads on posts, you know, a few months after he got this job. You know, in mid-August, he traded away Sammy Watkins and Ronald Darby, guys that were, you know, relatively high picks. Darby, I think, was a second. Watkins, obviously, was a first-round pick. And they were expected to be key contributors. And he just went, like, no, you're not my style or the style I want, and you're goodbye. Glenn doing this with Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers is obviously a bigger star than both of those guys put together. But it's the same concept. You know, I want people to know it's going to be different. And if that takes embarrassing a future Hall of Famer, I mean, I guess so be it. What do you care more about, Rodgers' feelings or the team you like? Mm-hmm, you know, the Jets. So I even can't really get after him for that, even though I do admit I think it's maybe somewhat petty, but I think there was a larger picture in mind when he did it.
All right. Well, by bringing this up, I think you're even starting to like him more.
Yeah, that's really disappointing. Yeah.
It's not helping.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Because.
No, it's not.
Bulldogs' reputation is famous for hating the coach of whoever the Bills play.
Who do the Bills play next week? Miami? Oh, that'll be easy.
You think?
Yeah, I think that won't be a problem. I don't really hate Mike McDaniel, but he's easy to pick at this point. He's always been easy to pick at, actually, I think, because he was so sort of outside the box.
I feel kind of bad for him, McDaniel.
I get that.
I mean, I bought that he was really good. The start was incredible. I mean, that 2 years ago when they were scoring the 70 points and everything, and it really did seem – I was convinced. I mean, there were concepts that were new and teams had really no idea for a while what to do about it. But they've had lots of
– Everybody caught up.
There's that. You know, it's not going to last forever, but they were pretty good. And, you know, he's got some big personalities there to deal with. And the GM hasn't put a good team on the field in like 10 years having been there. Or, you know, I don't know. I don't think he's getting a lot of help is all I mean by that, yep. McDaniel. And now, well, we'll see what happens Sunday. They're actually favored against New England. AFC East, AFC East meetings this week. Aaron Glenn was on the Jets as a player the last time I might say the Bills and Jets were both good. They're interesting in terms of the rivalry stuff.
Yeah.
The Jets with the Bills anyway, because they've rarely ever both been good. You know, late 90s, they were both good. 98, there was a big game here that the Jets won on a Saturday that might have been for the division or just about was for the division. Flutie and Testaverde. Like, so there was then. And I guess the early 80s, they were in the playoffs together. That would have to count. Mm-hmm. But it was almost like a one-off, and then one or both teams went away. Like the Bills in the mid-80s, and then the Jets were bad when Kelly was peaking. And since...
Yeah, even with Ken O'Brien, like they were never really a threat to the Bills. It was always Miami.
The O'Brien Jets would kind of club the Bills, you know? Like, again, mid-80s there. There were some blowouts, at least a couple I can think of. But since... like 2000, really, like what's the biggest game they've ever had with this team? Twice a year.
The Jets with a chance to go to the playoffs with a win in the finale here, and Fitz throws three picks.
And you had nothing to play for.
Right. All you had was spoiler for the Jets.
The early season games, and there have been a bunch of them, like this one, the game 2 years ago in week one, where like that feels like a big game because you're not off the ground really yet. Or at all in that case, you know, when it's the opener. There was a Thursday night here 10 years ago. Remember that game? Super high-scoring game that the Jets won on a Thursday night.
Is that when Greg Roman got fired?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
And the Bills, in their history of the offensive coordinator firings, only do it after the offense was great or the right. Special teams blew the game or whatever it was, like with Dorsey. But, you know, Miami and New England – the rivalry topics come up and they're always the same, you know, like the Patriots and their domination with Brady and Belichick. I mean, that's still pretty fresh. And then Miami is like your dad's version of the Patriots, right? I mean, over the 70s and all that. But the Jets really, I don't know.
No, the Jets don't have, both of those teams. I saw this because Dak Prescott is going for a 14th consecutive win over the Giants.
Is that right?
This week. Yeah, he lost his first year. I think they lost both games, and since then he has not lost to the Giants. So 14 is what he can get to, and the only quarterback who had more wins consecutively against a team was Greasy in the 70s, 17 in a row he was credited for. And then a little bit further down the list, I think tied right now with Prescott is Brady from the 2000s with 13. Because there was
that's, you know, the most it ever was 13 straight.
I guess that's what I, if my memory isn't too faulty from earlier today, that I saw that as it related to Prescott and the Giants playing this week. So you know, the Bills are on that list twice, but there's no Jets. There is no era where really I would say one or the other. Really, I mean, I guess in the 90s the Bills maybe treated the Jets like a punching bag, but it wasn't any kind of tear of consecutive wins like that.
No, they had a bad loss to them at home, and I think 92 or 3. It was one of those 2 years where they were huge favorites and lost to the Jets. But right, like they didn't have like a long streak.
Some of us in Buffalo, I'm definitely among them, have a thing about the new, you know, the downstate teams, you know, the superiority of the New York metropolitan area, New York City metropolitan area. And so, like, there's a sort of, I don't like this team thing. But other than that, which I think you got to really work at.
I feel that.
Yeah, the Jets don't do it the way Miami or the Patriots do. And they never really have. Because it's just they've never kept me from doing anything I wanted to do. Even that one playoff game, the Bills won.
That's right.
So they've never really been in the way of the Bills. And in fact, really the only time I think the Bills maybe were ever in their way is this Fitz game that I referenced from a few years ago where he threw picks late and cost them a chance to get to the playoffs.
Except 98. That was the one season where it was big between the two teams. You know, a lot of the rivalry stuff for me, and I think for most people, you think of the fans, right? I mean, the players come and go and get traded and move around. It's the fans who are the same. Like, you turn on a Bills at Jets game, like the one on Sunday, it, you know, always looks the same and it sounds the same, right? The JETS and all that you
get. Fireman Ed, yeah.
And because the Jets were good, like when I was at that age getting into football, like I still feel that every time. I still feel sort of like an anger toward them, you know. That I have the rivalry in me with the Jets. Yeah. The Patriots, maybe likewise. As dominant as New England was over the Bills, I never really developed that because I was, you know, an adult. Like, I never really developed the same. Mm-hmm. The Patriots were terrible at the same time, you know, like early 80s, right? So, or, you know, pretty much. And I don't know. There's a different sort of effect that turned the game on Bills at Patriots has on me. Not that it's, like, insignificant, but the Jet thing is really more there.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. Definitely. That's why, generationally speaking, you know, Miami, for people my age, our age, still outranks New England, even though New England, you know, in the current era, or in the era that it happened, and it's not current anymore, it's a few years, you know, gone now, but the dominance was even more, to me, impressive and therefore annoying because, like, in the 70s, Miami was great, and like they had the same dudes on the team for like 18 years, it seemed like. They were just all the same guys. And I'm exaggerating for the point, but in an era where parity was, you know, the thing in the NFL, to have a team lord over you like New England did is just, it just shouldn't happen. Really,
right.
The system is set up to prevent it from happening. And in the 70s, when Miami was doing that to you, there was no such system in place. They had great players, they weren't going anywhere, and you were stuck.
There was no way around it.
Right.
Yep. Well, I mean, the Patriot thing, as I'm saying it and we're talking about it, almost doesn't make sense to me. Like, why it is... The idea, the word rivalry for what the Bills and the Patriots were over the last 20 years is not even like the word, I think. It's just more pathetic that the Bills were so rarely able to sort of play.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On their level.
Well, that's what made the Miami thing so tasty in the 90s, is that if you were, again, our age and you lived through, for the 70s, seeing the Bills, they didn't go, you know, didn't run the table on Miami, but, you know, Miami had, there were playoff games, including an AFC title game in Miami, and you always kept them from getting the prize.
It's the best.
And so that's really good. So even though whatever the record would have been in that era, when Kelly versus Marino, I mean, it's lopsided, but it's not dominant outright the way the 70s were in reverse. But still, it did enough. Like, that's where that juice came from. When the Bills started beating them, it just felt like three wins in one every time, just because it was so, there was so much scar tissue from the 70s. And, you know, New England, you know, when you're an adult, it's annoying and frustrating, but it's just, it doesn't cut the same way. I mean, I totally respect people who are 30 years old who feel that way about New England and don't feel really anything about Miami, because, you know, you're born when you're born. And the things that happen that impress you or make impressions upon you when you're little, those are often in sports the things that stick.
When it comes to the fans, too, I mean, I love that anytime it comes up, that AFC Championship Bills win in Miami is it's just one of my very favorite games to think about, is that day. There's something, the satisfaction of your team winning on the road and spoiling those people's day, as bad as that sounds, like, it's just very rich. But, you know, the jet point, turn the game on, that sounds like it sort of takes you right back to when that was a tough game. And New England is different. Miami, I just feel like they're all Bills fans in that stadium.
Right.
I mean, it's not over like the Bills in the 70s, but they just have completely, they own the Dolphins. Allen and the Bills. If I were a Dolphins fan, I have a good friend who is, and it's like us with New England, I think, right now with them. And the Dolphins have had better teams, by a little bit at least, than the Bills had in those years. But come on, like, it's just sort of a joke what the Bills-Dolphins thing has been. Remember last year, that was week two, the Thursday night in Miami. Mm-hmm. So it would have been tonight.
Right.
And Miami might have been favored in that game. It was like, okay, well, let's see what this is. And that game was such a joke. Like, Miami was just not on the same level at all. And that's what most of these meetings have really ended up like with the Dolphins. The Jets, I probably, you know, I'm a noted Jets fan. And
that's right.
Enthusiast.
You are often higher on them.
Than anybody.
The whole Rodgers time. I mean, the first year got undone. But going into it, you thought they were that was going to work. And then you thought it would work last year, too.
It's probably the same thing about watching them in 1981 that makes me think they're actually good all the time. I don't know. But the Bills have won 8 out of 10. It's not like they always go there and struggle.
It's just that there's close, you know, they're closer than you'd like, and the losses are pretty memorable, I'd say, right? I mean, you've got the opener where they knock Rodgers out, but Allen turns it over, I think, four times, three picks and a fumble. And then the loss there that precedes that one, if it's 8 out of 10, is the one where Allen had hurt his elbow but still managed to throw a ball 70 yards on target to Gabe Davis, who couldn't catch it. So the losses stand out, and the wins are often closer than you'd like them to be. Like last year's game there, of course, you know, I'm omitting the finale here where the Jets just laid down 40 to nothing. Here comes Tyrod Taylor, and there's a couple of scores late, but holy cow. But the game there last year was tense. It was like, wow, why can't I just put this team down, is often how it feels when you're playing the Jets. I don't know, often. It's happened a few times.
Yeah, the last three games, the Jets have in New York, the Jets have won twice, like you just said. And then last year, the Bills won by a field goal. So what about this Jets team right now? The line is 7, 6.5, 7. We'll talk to Joe Ostrowski in 10 minutes about that, you know, our game, and then the rest of week two, which starts tonight, Washington at Green Bay. Are you buying them? I mean, I guess I can't be trusted to give you an honest answer for myself.
I want to – we'll see about Justin Fields. I mean, he did – I watched almost every snap of that game on Sunday, and he did look really good. I gotta you know, give credit where it's due. I think he did a really nice job. But, you know, long year, like Dan said, Lieberfeld said yesterday, like, you had a lot of time to prepare for that game. Let's see what – you know, get into the rhythm of the season, how it goes. But I do think I liked the left tackle last year, Fashno, and pairing him with the kid they drafted this year, that looks nice. Like, they could have some version of Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown there. And they're only 1 and 2 years, not even. They're 1 and 0 years into their careers. But the reviews are very good. This Membo had the highest grade from any offensive lineman in week one.
Against T.J. Watt.
Against T.J. Watt, often enough anyway. So I think they've got something going on there. And what Dan said to us yesterday about, you know, the loss of Vera Tucker, as good and great a player as he's been, they might even be better overall because the center has moved to guard and can be a good player. And maybe this – I don't know. I think they might be pretty stout up front is all I'm going – so I'm buying that. There's nothing to not like about Garrett Wilson or Breece Hall, I don't think. Beyond that, I'm not sure what I'm really dealing with, you know, from a skills perspective.
It's interesting timing for the Bills defense, and it's not like it went well against Baltimore, but you're playing something like Baltimore again here.
Right.
With Fields and Breece Hall, kind of like maybe a poor man's
version
of the Ravens. Hall is great. I mean, when he gets – we'll see what he looks like. I mean, you watched the game on Sunday. Early in that game, he had a few great runs. I was hearing all summer how they were going to split time there with Braylon Allen, but that really didn't happen so much in that game, right? He was on the field a little bit. Allen vultured a touchdown in that game for the Jets, but still, like, Breece Hall showed his talent on Sunday.
Yeah, and defensively, they've got good. Quinnen Williams, you know, has been annoying. I think he's an excellent player. Up front. And the edge guys, I mean, Jermaine Johnson, I think, has had injuries, so I don't know what to really expect from him. But Will McDonald, I think, is pretty nice. Sauce Gardner's really good. So they've got – but they've lost – you know, they still have the nickel corner, the slot corner, right, is Michael Carter. But they lost Justin Reed, and so we'll see what they can do with the other corner spot. But I think the secondary is not as strong as it has been for them because of the loss of Reed. But there's known good players there, if not even great players. Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner might be great players.
The Bills may or may not have Ed Oliver for this game. We'll talk to Sal at 4 and see what's up with that. Oliver was seen in a boot today and is on the injury report and was not yesterday. So something is maybe up there. We'll see what that is. Joe Ostrowski from Bet Sweats coming up. Sal, as I mentioned, as well. And late, Paul Hamilton, as there is a hockey game of sorts tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Prospects stuff. And then the preseason will be here, you know, in just over a week, I think, week and a half or so. So that's coming. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Joe O after this timeout here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.